Dude, welcome back. Welcome back. We already did a podcast, but welcome back to another one.
Thank
but,
you.
Honor, man. Dude, you get yesterday. Well, before we get into that, because I want to talk about your speech a little bit, because that was fire, man.
Was it?
That
Thank
was
you.
fire.
It means a lot, bro.
Both of them. The one you did on last year up in Chicago about masculinity, and then this one was good. But before that, for the people that don't know, Marine.
Sir, infantry.
When?
04, 08, 3-1, Lima Company Weapons Platoon. So you'll have
Iraq?
to look me up. Get all the trolls, they're bait real quick. Iraq twice. 0351. So
Where in Iraq?
geez, we did the Haditha situation. Sinjak, we're all around the ball sack.
I knew all that. I was just throwing that
Giving
out
them all the things.
Yeah, just like.
All around the ball sack, east west SACRON, all that stuff. Yeah, man. Botswana.
Different life, huh?
Yeah, bro.
So when did you get into from your transitioning out of especially during that the whole Haditha thing and everything. When did you go into AP?
Dude, I got, like I was telling, last night, by the grace of God, man, it was about 6 months before I got out. I started being like, well, I got to figure out what the heck I'm going to do.
How old were you? You did how long?
I did four.
Yeah.
So I was
That's
21.
a heavy
That was
four
a heavy,
years, bro.
Right. But that was the way of it back then. I remember when I saw my first security dude who was trying out for one of our teams, and he had didn't have any deployments, and he was an 03. And I was like, I called my boy up and I was like, yo, bro, I got this dude. Says he was an 03.
I think he's lying.
Yeah, I'm like, but he didn't
No.
do no deployments. And he's like, calm down. And I was like, that's the way it is. And I'm like, for real? And he's like, yeah, bro, like a lot of these
Yeah,
guys
we've
don't
got
get taken
guys.
out.
We've got. I mean, it blew my mind. We've got guys at MARSOC with no combat experience. Like the
Yeah,
people with
man.
combat experience in the Marine Corps these days is slim,
It's slim and
slim.
it could be a problem. But yeah, so about 6 months out, all the Mothers of America stuff started kicking off, and they started coming down on us like, you gotta be nice to your new Marines. And I'm like, well, that's impossible. I can't go to war with these guys, what is this? I can't get jiggy with these, I was like, dude, I can't go to war with a dude. I have to baby. One of the best things that happened to me was my seniors just got back from Fallujah. When I got to my unit, and they were psychopaths,
They were, yeah.
And
Yeah.
it was gnarly, but it was the best training I ever could have got for war. It was that
Prepared
training.
you.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
So I was like, dude, I got to bounce. And then about 6 months out, and then I started applying for police departments and things like that. And then about 3 months out, I was like, I don't know if I want to do all that stuff. And then I was just praying, and the good Lord told me what to do. He said, go to a bar, start bouncing, and you're going to be a bodyguard. You're going to travel the world. And I went to a bar. I went to that bar that he told me to go to and start bouncing. And then, right place, right time, right relationships. Random dude just looks at me and goes, hey, man, have this guy do it straight up. And I'm like, what's up? And he's like, you got combat experience? I'm like, yeah. He's like, you getting out of the Marine Corps? I'm like, yeah. He's like, go get these two permits. Give me a call back in 2 weeks. I'll show you how to make a lot more money doing what you're doing. And I blink, and I'm doing my first job interview on Rodeo Drive in the back of a Bentley. All freaked out because there's the ground's all fur like mink on the floor, and I'm like, dude, someone left their jacket back here. I don't want to put my feet down. And then we hit 60 some countries that first year, and I ran at that pace for about 7 years. So to answer your question, I'm a long answer guy. About 3 months before I got out, I got recruited from flag football into the NFL.
And it's been, it's, yeah, it's like that's flag football to the NFL.
Yeah, I choose the game. Game chose me, man.
Yeah. So you were working for somebody else at the time.
Yeah, so I was still in the Marine Corps. I was in Israel going through passport control, expecting to get I was like, they're gonna my client is gonna watch me get arrested by Marines and Charlies in 2 seconds. But fortunately everything went smooth.
No kidding. You didn't have any issues?
Bro, I was paying off dudes in it because I was getting out, so I was in guard processing out, and I was like paying my homies like, hey bro, I need you to take these couple weeks for me. I gave you $250 a day. Just take my post and let me go do this thing right quick. And that's how I survived. And yeah, man, I was traveling before I even got out of the Marine Corps.
When did you start your own company?
2017. Yeah, 2017, finally had a client that was just like, hey, man, like, we want you to be our guy. We're going to put you in business. So they funded all of it, and by the grace of God, they funded all of it. And then...
this means you were doing a good job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they still allowed me to moonlight and take on clients and everything as long as I handled everything with them. And yeah, man, it's been a blessing.
I was laughing. I was thinking about it last night. I was like, so wait a minute. So you got out of the Marine Corps. You had no family.
Yeah, bro. Just me.
Make it. I'm like, you could, as much as you worked, you couldn't spend the money. Tell me if I was wrong.
Yeah.
Could you spend the money fast enough that you were making?
Bro. They should have never gave that stitch of money. You
know? Oh, man. Like, literally, that's how it was, man. It was a party. Me and my boys were thousandaires, you know, finally making decent money, you know.
Yeah.
Traveling the world. I mean, it almost killed me because, you know, that much amplification before maturity is like
actually dangerous. You didn't transition at all.
Yeah. No, I was in it, you know. And there's a lot to that story, man, because I was wilding out hard.
Really?
You know? Oh, yeah, bro. I was wilding out hard.
I was thinking, I was like, he was so busy, man. He probably didn't have time to.
Nah, bro.
Yeah. It happened.
We were so, yeah, we made it happen, man. Like, you know, so my PTSD was just being addicted to the speed and the adrenaline of combat and being like, dude, first civilian division is boring. I hate this. There's no quality problems. Like,
quality. I like that. No quality problems.
Like, this is, yeah, like, this is low quality.
your problems are low quality.
Yeah, you know, these are safe problems. Man.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just was like, you know, once I put the client down and had somebody on that door or on that room, I was partying all over the world, doing all the drugs, freaking all the steroids, all the freaking everything. And
damn.
I was smart. I was strong enough to be high functioning. So, like, I could be on a bunch of things and still sit here and be dialed in and kind of, you know. And so, yeah, man, that was my PTSD. I was addicted to dopamine, man. I was like a Lamborghini that was trying to drive in a school zone that would just go out and race at nighttime, you know.
When did that come to a head?
Dude, fortunately, by the grace of God, I've always had kind of, I don't know if it's a gift or it's just a way of kind of seeing paths. Mm-hmm. So, like, I just knew. I was like, everything's got a timer on it, you know, and your decisions, everything you're doing is like planting seeds. And then your decisions, at some point, you're going to reap a harvest. This is true with good decisions as well. So I just knew, man, I was like, you're going to run out of runway on this. And I had some close calls. Like, I had some close calls getting pulled over with, you know,
throw that
80 pills of Molly in the car. Like, where you're like,
you know, and things like that.
Life over.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Like, you're done. Like, you know, they really should have never gave these ninjas money. Anyway, so,
but anyway, so little things like that started happening. And I was like, dude, you're going too fast. You got to slow down. And mosquito. All right, extra protein. So, yeah, man. So I had little things, cracks starting to show, you know. And then I fortunately was like, dude, I got to stop and I got to redirect. And so fortunately, when I got back from Iraq, I had some bouts with just the PTSD of it, drinking. And, like, I was drinking, like, a fifth of vodka every single night for, like, 30 days. It was usually, like, exactly 30 days. And then I would, like, just decide, like, I'm either going to, like, not drink during the week or I'm gonna die. Like, and that's the way my brain is. Even with success, it's like, look, I'm either gonna succeed or I'm gonna die. I'm perfectly fine with breaking apart in midair, going after what I want, you know? So, just getting that mosquito the rest of the way down. So I just decided, dude, I need to flip the script. I stopped everything I was doing in Cali. I moved down to the Bahamas. Also for business reasons, but also to change my environment, and then started pumping the brakes on all that. And then, you know, I just grew up, man. I was just like, look, I'm going to die like a kind of a cool dude, kind of funny dude, made some decent money, like did some things, but like, I'm not going to be anything, you know, like freaking big deal. You know, like Byron was here. Like,
you didn't change nobody's, you didn't change the world. You didn't change nobody's life.
Yeah.
You didn't help nobody out.
Yeah, man. And so I started to kind of be like,
It's funny how age does that to you, right? You see a bigger picture that's not really about you anymore.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Your little desires.
Yeah.
Well, it's not about fun anymore. It starts to be about bigger, smarter things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When did you become a family man?
So, let's see. I mean, I've been married for about 13 years, and I... don't get crazy. And I, you know, I just had my kids, you know, 4 years ago with my daughter and my son. And that's awesome. That's a whole nother frontier, man.
Yeah. Did that change some things for you?
It definitely, definitely has, you know, not in the way, like, I would say one of the best things about that is it's like more to me where I could tell you what it's like, or boot camp. You know, I could sit here and tell you every single day what you're going to do every day at boot camp and going to prepare you for it. And I think having kids is one of the largest heart expanding experiences you could ever have. And like, I'm pretty deep on the path on the spectrum of psychopathy. Right. So like, I don't really feel things, you know, like the way normal people do, you know, and I can sustain and take a lot of pain on the way in and out of things. And like, that was an experience in my life where I was like, oh my goodness, like I'm feeling
this. I feel,
I hate this. I'm like, hey, this is, yeah.
It was like, first for me, my first daughter was born, I was like, it was like a wave. Like, holy shit, I love this baby.
I'm like, I love nothing like this before in my entire life. Like anything, you know? So that, you know, and then I felt that mantle, you know? Everyone's like, what did you feel when you had your kid? I'm like, I felt this gentle mantle of responsibility. Lay on my shoulders.
You know, everyone's in there like, oh. And like, I just felt this mantle. Yeah. You're like, oh, shit.
Yeah, exactly, man. So that's super cool. You know, I hope, you know, I'm a little bit like, you know, everyone make your own decision, but there ain't nothing like having kids. And I don't really like kids, man. I held my wife off. We bought all kinds of dogs, and I held her off for a good bit, like 7 years before we do
this. She broke you.
Yeah.
She broke you.
Yeah, man. You know, well, and also my dad told me, he was like, look, bro. He was like, son, you want to be poor? You want to be stuck in middle class the rest of your life? He's like, two things. And I don't know if this is good or bad advice, but I for sure listened to it. He's like, you know, well, first of all, he'd always say, you ain't got to die to go to hell, son. You ain't got to die to go to hell. All you got to do is be an uneducated black man in America, and you're already in hell. That was his first lesson.
You know, be uneducated. You might,
Thanks, Dad.
Yeah, and then the second one was like, if you want to be poor and broke the rest of your life. And my dad's like, he's like a monster, bro. I love my dad. He's intense as hell. He's like, you know, Donald Trump and like freaking and Tony Montana mixed together in like a big Caribbean businessman guy.
And he's like, have kids before you're ready. And, get married and buy a big house because your wife wants a big house. You'll be broke the rest of your life. So those are the two things I like.
I was like, look, man, I'm waiting, man. So I held her off for like 7 years.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, man.
Seems to be working out.
Yeah. When did your kind of the ownership of like physical, spiritual, mental health kind of start kicking in, kind of what you were talking about last night? Like, when did that ownership of like, you know what, I'm gonna really dive into this uncomfortable stuff and get healthy, you know what I mean, and not just physically, but you know, mentally and spiritually as well?
So when I grew up, my mom was hyper spiritual, like super over the top, like God bless her. I love her. She did I think she did an all right job with family here and all this, right?
Yeah.
But like, she was super duper. Yeah, you know, like we spent nights at Bible studies to like 2 a.m. with like church ladies praying over me and like,
oh man.
You know, you don't get to be done when you're done. Like they keep you out there. They still, you know, they praying over you.
But I'm gonna beat this at you. Yeah, you
know? Like, this is how it was, you know. So that was my childhood. So me being a male, right, not having my father, because my dad's in the Bahamas, it was like a super duper turn off to me. I had to wake up 2 hours before school and watch 4 televangelists. And then I went to a Christian school, and first period was church.
Bible class.
Man.
And then I would go to church on Wednesday. It was midweek, Thursday.
This is in the Bahamas?
No, this is in Washington State. Oh. So I grew up in Washington State, and then my dad was in the Bahamas.
Right? Okay.
And we were black, so we don't, like, grow up with our dads, you know, sort of thing.
Just kidding.
We're changing that.
I said it. It's fine. It's not racist, but I said it. So, yeah, bro. So it's just me and my mom, my other sister. I got five sisters total. So, yeah, man, it was church Wednesday. Thursday was choir practice. Saturday was youth. Three services on Sunday because my dad, my mom sang in the choir. So, like, I lived at church. Now, what that did is it made me hate religion.
Right.
But I formed a relationship with my Heavenly Father. So that's the voice and the guidance that I've had that helped me, you know, save my dad's life during an assassination attempt when I was like four or five. And then all the other things and get me into the executive protection industry. So I lived this way and I saw the fruit of, you know, having someone tell me when to zig and zag. And then when I got out of the military, when I got out of the Marine Corps, I just started to see the carnage, you know, like freaking dudes better than me tapping out and stuff. And then, and then I started to really key in. And, you know, I told you that story last night about being in Paris where I started to realize there's a difference between strength and power.
Mm-hmm.
So the first phase of my life was about generating strength. So that a guy like you would even respect me in the first place.
Right.
And then the second phase started to be about like, well, how do I start to generate actual power? That's like the next level of masculine development, I think. And then I started to really realize what's been guiding me in it. So I started focusing on that spiritual fitness. And I think even now I'm more into the spiritual version of that. Like, you know, it's a much more distinct element of my life now than it has been.
So you think it's something with age? Because I found that with myself as well.
Yeah, I think so.
Man. Because the same thing, like maybe it was, you know, the things that happened in Iraq, I was real turned off. I was like, this is all bullshit.
Yeah.
Fucking cosmic chaos. Like,
yeah.
Like how, like, they're like, oh, God protected you. Like, God protected me, but he didn't protect my dude.
Yeah,
who actually was like, loved Jesus and everything. Yeah. And I was like, eh, whatever.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? I'm not buying it. But as I've gotten older, I'm like, you know, there's
something in there.
There's a bigger box. It's bigger than this box right here. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it might have something to do with age.
Yeah, I do too. And I think age, like just the saying the same thing you're saying in a different way. And I think like our levels of development, like masculine development, I think the first part of your life should be about physical development, strength, understand how strong you are, put confidence into your little
body. You were talking about the, was it Maslow's hierarchy of needs?
Yeah, Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
Yeah. It's like, there it is.
Yeah, actually.
Lean into that.
Yeah.
Well, excellent, man. What's going on with you now? Where can people find you?
So you can find me, my primary website, ByronRogers.com or ByronRogersMotivation.com. They go to the same place. Byron_Rogers on most social media profiles, how I roll. Everything hits Instagram first.
Your videos, Mev said it in the last podcast, your videos on Instagram are just fire.
Thank you, man.
Yeah, your breakdowns of stuff. Yeah.
Good. Yeah, man. I want people to just realize how vulnerable they are.
Yeah. You know?
Guys like me and you walk the world and we're just like, You see how, like, thank God we're good guys. Like, you just are like,
look, it's literally just talking to Lou in here about that, about how, like, he's like, well, the world doesn't realize they need guys like us.
Yeah, yeah.
They keep, and that's what I was saying is like, majority of the populace, like 98% of the populace doesn't even understand the evil that's in this world.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. They think everything can be reasoned with. There's some really disgusting evil in this world.
And it makes no sense.
Right. But you need dangerous men to be able to stand that, be in that wall.
Yep.
You know?
Who are more dangerous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent, dude. Well, dude, go follow this guy on Instagram. You'll be inspired and educated.
Woo. I love it, bro. Good stuff, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.